We continue with our training camp series, and joining me today is the running backs coach at Washington State, Eric Mealy. Coach, it's great to have you here.
No, it's my pleasure. Look forward to it. Just got back from vacation, and I'm ready to get back and hit the grass, but love talking football.
Well, Coach, before we get into some of the specifics of how you prepare your guys, your position group, as you go through training camp, I do want to touch on your journey into coaching. You have probably as interesting of a story as any that I've shared on this podcast. If you would, just talk to us about, you know, how you got to Washington State and the road to it.
It's a long-winded yet interesting story, so I'll try and give you the nuts and bolts. But you know, I coached or played at Division III school in New Jersey. Coached there for kind of got my start there. My first 2 years was in high school for a year with the kind of followed the head coach over to a local school and kind of got a coordinator job out of that, and then went to St. Peter's College in Jersey City. A buddy of mine, Charles Coffey, was the offensive coordinator there. He called me to come coach receivers there, and he had actually ventured out to Texas Tech. So this is going back several years ago, 2006-ish, something like that. And he had, got all the scripts and the practice plan, hung out for a week, and kind of just, got all that air raid offense. And we came back and we installed it. St. Peter's and ran it that year and had some good success. And then what happened there was St. Peter's was actually closing football. The conference kind of got disbanded and several teams kind of moved into that Pioneer League and several teams kind of folded up shop. So my wife and I moved to North Carolina. Joe Reich at Wingate University gave me a job over there on campus and spent 5 years there. Great place, great head coach, won a conference championship there and playoffs, and he's continued to do all that same stuff now. But so I was there for, five seasons and loved it. Cost of living great, and then the weather and then the program, the whole thing was fantastic. But, Coach Leach was out of football at the time. I had met Matt Mummy, who was coaching at Davidson, kind of just down the road from us. And then, kind of met Hal as well, Hal Mummy. And, just heard about Leach through the grapevine, read his book like everybody else, I'm sure, Swing Your Sword. And he was out of coaching, so I just wrote him a letter, really off the cuff and casual, and just said, hey, kind of BS, you're out of coaching, you get back into it, love to catch on with you, and, I'll bust my ass for you, that kind of thing. And, didn't think much of it. And then soon ahead, a couple months later, I'm at a clinic, ironically, in Oregon. Chip Kelly was there, that staff, and kind of hanging out, just talking football, kind of a closed door thing, and my phone rings and it says Lubbock, Texas on there. So I'm like, what the heck is this? It's got to be Mike Leach, So I step out, play the voicemail back, and the message was Eric, Mike Leach. And that was it. So I didn't know what the heck that meant. So first chance I got, I give him a shout back, and he said, hey, if you're in Florida, let me know. So I went back to Carolina. 2 weeks later, I'm in Florida. Shoot him a text and say, hey, I'm in town. So about 8 o'clock at night, meet him down there on Duval Street, and went till probably about 5 o'clock in the morning, little island tour in typical Coach Leach fashion. So we visited all the local restaurants and watering holes and lots of history, that type of thing. So he invited me back down that summer. So I came back down, I think it was June, and Hal and a couple of his coaches, Mason Miller, who's currently on our staff too, met him for the first time down there. So about 7 or 8 of us, toured Jimmy Buffett's studio, fishing, staying up all night, roosters kind of waking us up, kind of like the Hangover movie part four. So we did that for about 3 days, and then, went home, and then, I guess that winter is when he got hired at Washington State. So, reach out to him. I'm sure his phone's probably blown up at the time. Can't get a hold of him. So I told my wife, I'm going to go book a trip out there unannounced. He knows who I am, so I'll just kind of go to the office that next day and see what the story is. So book a trip out there on a Tuesday, and he had a press conference on Tuesday to get introduced. So Wednesday morning, I text him, hey, I'm at the Quality Inn in Pullman, which it's, that's not the ideal spring break or destination to be, but I'm there at the Quality Inn, give him a shout. And then he had flew in and flew out back in Key West, but the text kind of came back. So I flew out there, so I'm stuck out in Pullman for a few days, with nothing to do. So I said, hey, I'll meet you back in Key West. So now I got to start tapping my resources a little bit. I had at the time we had three kids, and I'd already kind of chased, two or three trips down at this point. I'm calling my brother and my dad, and I'm like, hey, I might have to get a little loaner from you guys. Got to get it back to Florida. I missed them out here type of thing. So I think that's when Coach Leach realized he wasn't going to shake me at all, because I just kept coming at him. So he invited me back out about a month later. I came out for about 48 hours. Never discussed anything about a job or, what the position was or anything like that. And then I got a red eye out in the morning. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and we're at the Sangria restaurant in town. And turns around, he says, hey, job only pays this. And I know you got a pile of kids. It won't be a distraction for you, but, you want the job. And then, absolutely, I want the job. And I kind of shake his hand and, call my wife. And she's like, all right, did we, get the money we wanted? Absolutely not. Selling the house, the car, all our furniture, and we're out of here. So, she's like, what's the job? And I'm like, don't know that either, man, but, we're going. So showed up after that first spring. It's 2012, his first season here. And then came out and, first guy I see, one of our offensive line coaches at the time, is like, hey, coach, kind of introduced me to his wife, and this is a new quarterback QC with Coach Leach. So I'm like, well, that worked out pretty good. If I could have picked a spot, kind of get my foot in the door, that was the one I wanted to do. So about 2 years into it, of just, lots of long nights with Coach. He's a night owl, so, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning in the staff room watching film, talking about, do we like to post on 95 here, and best pizza places in Jersey, and Vikings, and that kind of stuff. Did that for a couple seasons, and then got promoted about midway through that third year, and then that's going back about 5-6 years now. So it was a heck of a story. It's been great, but a great journey, and I'm grateful for the opportunity he gave me.
Yeah, really interesting story, and just the persistence you had. I'm sure that's a big part of who you are and the work ethic that it took really for you to land that job, and then the sacrifices. There's a lot of guys who do that, who take those chances, who are poor for a while, and doesn't always pay off for everybody, but so far so good for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would say, man. That's one of my favorite quotes is, energy and persistence conquer all things. Ben Franklin said that, and it's, you got to, you live your life that way. You're doing recruiting, you're doing coaching and all that, and usually things turn out all right for you,
Well, Coach, we jump ahead to where you're at right now. You're the running backs coach at Washington State after having spent some time as a special teams coordinator and, as you mentioned, getting your start in offense quality control. I'd like to focus, again, on the idea of the things you're doing. As we record this, about 10 days away from camp starting, but the beginning of camp and how you start things really with any position group is so important that you want to set the tone for your guys. So as you get your guys together and bring them back in that first meeting, new faces in the room with freshmen, I'm sure, what's the message you want to deliver? What do you want these guys to understand as you kick off the 2019 season?
Yeah, first thing is, we have our three team goals, and that's for everybody. And we just got to make sure we kind of touch on those. And, number one is be a team. And that's about being selfless and not being selfish. These guys have to, recruitment process is over, for those young guys, and we're playing for each other. And that's I think, some of the magic we've had here is where, not as many stars and offers sometimes as some of the teams that we play, but our guys are tough, and they – they look over the guy next to them on either side of them. They know those guys put the time and the work in to be successful out there, and they want to get each other's back. So be a team. Be the most excited to play. And that's on game day, and that's during practices, and that's in meetings, having energy and, being excited about being there, being engaged, being present in those meetings. We're not big on, a lot of these some smaller stuff. It's not the, like type of wearing a certain uniform or, on a bus or, things like that. But when it's football time, it's football time for us. So when you're in a meeting room, you got to be present, you got to be engaged. You're in a practice field, you only get that one opportunity that day. You better bring a lot of energy out there. So that's kind of the second team goal. And then the third team goal is be the best at doing your job. And, you don't have to do anything you don't have to do somebody else's. You don't have to do anything outside of what we coach you to do and outside of your ability. just do it to the best that you can. So those are the three team goals that we kind of start with, make sure everybody's on the same page there. And then we'll start talking about our goals as the running back group, and then individually as well. And then the standards that have kind of been set, you know, where are we at rushing the ball in these plays? Where are we at, you know, in receiving? Where are we at yards per touch? And how do we improve in certain areas, and, you know, pass protection? I mean, whatever it may be, we're going to kind of hit all those topics. And then so the areas to improve, and then the standards that we've set, and then how we're going to improve those. And that kind of goes into the goals, you know, the goals for that season. You know, what do we want to accomplish? And then going through the practice plan with them. And that's kind of a big thing, even for the old guys, just to make sure everybody's we're all squared away. Hey, when this period hits, we're going to be out here doing our individual work. You know, some of the periods, you know, with the air raid offense will be a little more pass emphasis, but we'll kind of duck out and make sure we get some of our individual work in, footwork, pass pro, those types of things. So just kind of laying out that blueprint for them, talk about the goals as a team, the group, our standards, and then, you know, how we're going to go ahead and attack and what the plan is going forward.
Coach, in the air raid offense, the running back position essentially has to be what people would call, you know, an every down back, right? Because of the manner in which you guys are going to attack a defense, you're not going to be subbing guys in and out all the time situationally. You want to be able, those guys to be able to run the ball, pass protect, and certainly be able to get out and be receivers in this too. As you look at, you know, you mentioned a little bit being ducking out and getting some work, individual work, while other things are going on. But what's the way you divide things up, and how much are you working on each of those phases of what you guys need to do?
Right. So you have your core drills, and just a big, you know, kind of those big three we just talked about: footwork, pass protection, and obviously as a receiver out of the backfield. So, you know, on a day-to-day, we start off in pre-practice, and guys are out there on tennis ball machine, just getting catches with their hands, working hand-eye, but, you know, working that receiving aspect of it. And we go into some pre-practice stuff, run checks, working your run footwork, kind of a three-quarter speed, making sure our guys are, you know, landmarks are right, they're hugging the rail, they're cutting back if they have to, that type of thing. And then they get into some blitz stuff, you know, so again, you're back into pass protection. So really, before practice even starts, we just hit one of each. You know, we hit a receiving aspect, footwork for the run game, and then we're right into a pass protection deal. So those three things right before practice starts, and then we get into it. So on a Tuesday practice and a Wednesday practice, you know, if you broke it down, we kind of going into the season, but really during camp, we just kind of rotate one day to the next. You know, one day is a red zone goal line day, one day is a third down day. But for our purposes, one day in Indy, we'll make sure we get our footwork in and some pass pro, and then the next day we'll get some footwork in, and then our some more receiving stuff, which a lot of that happens organically, just the nature of what we do and some of the other team group periods that we have. But yeah, just make sure there's a balance and distribution. So just kind of a rotation. Really every other day, making sure that we're getting, you know, footwork's kind of a daily maintenance item. And then, you know, one day is pass pro, one day is a little more receiving aspect.
Coach, when you work on some of your skills for these guys as running backs, as the ball carriers, especially the vision aspect of it, what kinds of things are you doing, whether that be in the classroom, walkthrough, on the field and drills, to help train these guys to be confident in what they're seeing so they could play fast and be able to hit those running lanes aggressively?
Yeah, and that's we kind of lay out too, even in the run game, it's you know, we don't want any negative plays, we want all positive plays. We want these guys falling forward all the time, we want them to run behind their pads, we want them getting downhill, you know. So all of our footwork, whether it be a you know, an interior trap play, an inside zone, you know, the pin and pull play, the footwork's going to look the exact same in all of these. I mean, they're just kind of they're lateral. Their shoulders are square to the line of scrimmage, and then they're getting downhill. And they're just trusting their eyes at that point. And we'll give them an initial landmark to look at. But as soon as that thing gets cloudy, you know, they'll start either banging a run back, or they're just going to take it where they see it. But you know, the biggest thing is is playing fast. You know, it's playing fast and getting downhill. So we'll watch the cut-ups, you know, watch the cuts before we go out to practice of, you know, the good runs and some bad ones, just to make sure they know what the difference looks like the two. When you go out there in pre-practice, the same type of thing. And we're working that, that same footwork over and over again. It's a lot of reps, a lot of you know, constant, just same thing over and over again, just to get that ingrained into them. So it's second nature, you know, 4 days or something, you know, becomes a habit. So, you know, like the thing, 4 days in the camp, these guys' footwork isn't really an issue anymore as far as getting lined up and the mesh point with the quarterback and any of that stuff. So do that in pre-practice. And then, you know, the added elements are, you know, some of the drill work would be, you know, with a jump cut and then a burst and then, you know, a finishing move on coach, you know, that type of thing. So we always have something like that incorporated. We actually do it in post-practice as well. And the whole team, skill-wise, this has become like a standard for us where there's a circuit. We do a sideline drill where guys are working on kind of leaning back into the field of play and then cutting back on the last defender, you know, safety coming high over the top type of thing, you know, hard stick with your outside foot, you know, back to the middle of the field and try and go score. So that's, you know, kind of one of the drills. We have a, you know, tuck turn and a straight up field drill, just kind of catch a soft pass and then trying to split defenders, what bad guys on either side. And kind of rotate through some of those drills post-practice, again, just to keep on working the footwork, the vision, see it over and over again, make sure those guys have great pad level, make sure that they're, you know, they're dying hard and not kind of running out of bounds. They're trying to fight for extra yards and get touchdowns. And great ball security, too, obviously, with all this stuff.
Coach, in looking at, you know, the amount of reps you want guys to get, I'm sure it's going to vary based on their experience and, you know, what they need to do to get ready for week one. And I know, especially at the college level, the rules are changing again. So there's a lot more rest and time off the field than there were in years past. But just looking at that and getting these guys up to a level that they're ready to play, you know, week one of the season, they're ready to get, you know, all the reps that you needed them to get. How do you build up to that? And how are you, I guess, managing those reps? Because your position, even though it's a, you know, not thought of as, you know, a ground and pound type of offense, those guys are still in a very physical and high contact position. So I guess just the load management and managing, you know, these guys' health over the course of camp.
Yeah, that's a challenge. That's definitely a challenge. You know, so we have to have enough running backs to kind of spread around. We have two Pascals every practice during fall camp. So we'll have, you know, two, three quarterbacks on one field and two or three quarterbacks on the other field. And we kind of split those backs in half, you know, some veterans and with the younger guys, you know, so they're both have Pascal going at the same time, kind of back to back from the 50 yard line going in. And then we have a post-practice one-on-ones Pascal again, you know, for those younger guys. So those first couple, you know, couple weeks there, those first 2 weeks, those young guys are going to get as many reps as we need them to get. And really, they have to kind of show us something within those first couple of weeks to kind of warrant them getting reps when we start paring down a little bit as we start moving forward towards the season. So there is a bunch of reps, and then there's guys, you know, you keep those young guys after sometimes for a few minutes to make sure they learn from their mistakes in practice, or they have any questions, or, you know, kind of maintenance items there. But, you know, we take a guy like, you know, Max Borgi came in last year for us as a true freshman. He came mid-year, which was huge. So we got a whole spring under his belt. So by the time we got to fall camp, he could kind of showcase some of his skills enough to know that he would need to get some reps, you know. So he obviously had a great year for us and you know, coming back as a kind of the lead back for us in the spring. We just want to make sure, and probably during fall camp, it's going to be kind of a similar schedule for him, make sure he got enough work and we put enough stress on him that we felt like he, you know, he's improving his skills every day without, you know, overtaxing him, and then trying to bring those younger guys and some of those newer guys along a little bit faster. So I kind of anticipate some of that same thing going through our fall camp this year, which is, you know, get that starter, the reps with the you know, the ones, and if there's some scenarios, goal line, red zone, want to get him in there, let's get him in there and make sure he gets enough work in, and kind of, you know, let him really work some technique stuff now. Actually start helping coach the other guys a little bit. And that's always a big fall camp piece. And you want leaders to emerge, especially in your own room as well. And we need our older running back to be able to, you know, show the way and lead the way. And our standards are what they are. And I'm going to preach them, and our whole coaching staff does, but you know, the real magic starts happening when the kids start policing themselves a little bit and they start holding themselves accountable. And that's when you got something good going.
Yeah, absolutely. The season feels a lot longer if all that has to fall on the coach, whether that be the head coach down to the position coaches. I think it is about getting those guys to essentially be able to teach it. You know, I think I look back at some of the better players I've had over the course of my career. You know, it wasn't necessarily just taking reps and reps and reps. It was being able to help those younger guys that actually, I think, help their understanding of the play. You know, when you can teach it back, you know, you have a higher level of understanding, and probably you start to discover some things too because you're looking at it differently.
That's 100%. And that's you know, that's a goal too. I mean, trying to get these guys to not just know what their job is, but why, you know, what's going on around them. You know, why are those linemen blocking? You know, why are they brace driving on this run play? Or, you know, why is it a lock and ladder on the backside of the zone this time and not on the last time? They start understanding those things, the things that are going on around them. They're just going to be better football players. And then, you know, just like you said, I mean, when those older guys start teaching the younger guys and, you know, we get to kick back a little bit and kind of, you know, just be able to help emphasize or reinforce things. I mean, that's when it's, that's when, you got the thing cooking a little bit.
The best coaches are evaluating all the time, and it's usually some of it's informal, a lot of it is informal, and then we get into some formal things, especially as we start to you know, slot guys on a depth chart, you know, figure out what the playing time and the reps are going to be in a game, etc. For you, what's the evaluation process look like?
Yeah, so we know we just touched on, you know, the playbook aspect, and really just, you know, we don't want a lot of mental errors. You know, you don't want to have any of those. We want guys to be able to get lined up and understand their job. You know, kind of first off and just kind of put that to the side. And then, you know, putting the ball on the carpet for us is huge. You know, guys, if they do it in a game, they know that they're not going back in, you know, the next series at bare minimum. So ball security and be able to catch the ball are a couple of keys for us too, just kind of right out of the gates. You know, we caught 145 passes last year out of the backfield. So those guys are dropping balls, or, you know, that's not going to work either. They got to be able to catch just like the receivers do. So those are just some, you know, benchmark standard things right away. But then I start looking at, you know, the positive plays or production, what's their yards per touch, you know, and that's really how we really see how well our guys are producing for us. You know, yards per touch, first downs, touchdowns, you know, anytime they touch the ball. So we're, you know, we're kind of statting that out, you know, every practice to see who's, you know, who's doing the, you know, the best as far as that goes. And then the explosive plays come when a guy's got the ability to make one guy miss or break that one tackle, which you know, which is a standard for us. You know, to get tackled one-on-one in the open field, and that's probably not the right guy for us, you know. But and some of that's just talent-based type of thing. But really, those production plays, not taking negative plays, you know, again, falling forward, getting first downs, getting touchdowns, being able to make something happen with the ball in their hands. But you know, and the basics, like I said, just be able to get lined up and hang on to the football, catch the ball, and, you know, be coachable. You know, be coachable and want to get coached and take the coaching and, you know, apply it, you know, right after we give it to you.
I know there's a lot of different philosophies on, you know, charting some of those measurables and production points and different aspects of offense. And I've heard all kinds of reasonings for and against it. Are there any things that you guys are charting as you get into your game weeks, as far as like the production and, you know, everything going on with the run game, running backs, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, pass protection obviously is a huge one too. I mean, that's one where I'm probably as tough as that as anyone on anything. And really, we want to get our backs out as much as possible, but there's going to be, you know, what, one at every four or five snap where we're in pass pro. You know, we got to execute when that time comes. You know, we can't give up a sack. You know, so that's kind of a critical error for us that we'll keep. And whether it be a, you know, technique thing, but as long as the guy's a willing participant, you know, he's kind of meeting that guy up in the meeting him up in the trees there and attacking him and stopping his feet and kind of getting reengaging there and running him past the quarterback. We're good with that, but that's something we kind of track. We're going to track you know, some kind of yards after contact stuff. I mean, basically that combined what we were saying before is just, did he break a tackle? Did he make that guy miss? You know, did he get more out of it than he should have? Did he fall forward? You know, so really the other way to look at it is we'll chart the negative plays. You know, if he's losing yardage, if he's kind of hesitating, not hitting the hole, you know, he's stopping his feet, checking his feet, those types of things. Those are something we look forward to get corrected. You know, we don't want to see him stop moving ever. you want him, you know, widen his alignment in the backfield. Be patient. You know, wide is better because it all equals, all the stuff equals time. You know, time and the space being wider is going to give time for the O-line to start working their blocks and develop. And then, so be patient back there in the backfield and then hit that thing downhill. So if they're, you know, if they're hesitating or stopping their feet, that's something we're looking for all the time on film. And then, just to, you know, those standards I said before, which is make sure ball security is 100% and, the production plays are there. You know, they're getting first downs for us, so they're being efficient in the goal line, red zone carries, those types of things.
Coach, those young running backs, especially as they move to the higher level and the game starts to move faster, do have that tendency maybe to be squatting in the hole, right? Stopping their feet. You don't want them to do that to stay on the move. Do you have any tricks or tips or drills that can train that out of them and get them to move more smoothly through the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, really, you know, I focus on, like I said, that back end part of it. You know, it's a man's game, right? So they got to be back there, but they got to be patient and slow with their footwork on the mesh point. And if they do that, they'll be able to see things a little bit quicker because you're buying some time for the old line to start developing some blocks for you up front. You're starting to see where your landmark is, and your landmark's moving as you're patiently kind of sliding to the quarterback, you know, laterally and keeping those shoulders square. So, you know, really it starts back there. It starts in that back end. And that's where, again, the footwork stuff with the pre-practice runs, you know, with the footwork and the drill work we do every other day with their feet, which is just, you know, slow, patient, square the line of scrimmage, and then burst downhill. I'm just constantly yelling, you know, to slide, burst, you know, clap your hands, blow the whistle. You know, when they kind of hear it, they got to go. They got to be like a racehorse at that point. So I think some of that, like the indecision occurs when, you know, they kind of get the ball too fast or they're kind of panicking back there. Then they don't know what to do and they kind of stop, you know, the hole, that type of thing. So I think it just starts on the back end where they're lined up with the quarterback. And then it's just a matter of, you know, just getting, as soon as they get that ball, they know they got to get downhill right now.
Coach, on your Twitter page, your profile pic is a pretty interesting one. It's a little gas pump, old school gas pump. It says Mealy's Gas Station on it, and picture you on one side and running back on the other. Tell us what that means to your players and what you're looking to create with that mindset.
Yeah, something we developed last year, and that was kind of going to the camp, same thing we're talking about. And, you know, what do you guys want to, you know, social media is big. So, you know, what do you guys want to kind of trademark with our group? What do we stand for? And, you know, you kind of toss around like the all gas, no brakes thing. And then we just kind of eliminated the no brakes part. But, you know, it's full speed. Everything we do is full speed. It's full throttle. We're going to get after it, that type of thing. So it kind of took on a mind of its own. It went from our meeting room turned into the gas station, and then guys are busting each other's chops on who's got diesel fuel and who's got unleaded and premium and, you know, those types of things, and who's really going to bring it. You know, if the play is a bad play, and obviously that guy, you know, he went to the wrong, you know, pump or that type of thing. So we got some shirts. We got some old school retro gas station shirts with the guys' names on them, and it kind of just spiraled a little bit. But really it's just about being aggressive and aggressive attacking, you know, kind of our style. Same thing. I mean, even though you're on offense and our offense is a little more of a kind of spread them out and throw them around deal, we can still be physical and still be you know, the ones delivering blows and, you know, breaking the tackles and like, again, just, you know, finishing, giving everything we got, and, you know, not tiptoeing out of bounds, those types of things. So all gas. That's kind of the mantra around here.
Coach, this time of the year, it's easy to get lost in camp, especially in the beginning here. The adrenaline gets going. You're excited about the season. There's certainly the focus now towards week one. How do you make sure that you're still staying connected with your family? I know in reading your story, your wife really believed in you and is a big part of, you know, why you've been able to get here, is you've had some great support. So for you, you know, what are you able to do to make sure you stay connected with your wife and daughters?
Yeah, no, she's the MVP. That's a fact. But, yeah, they'll come to a couple practices down in fall camps. We go away for about the first week of fall camp. We'll go down to Lewis Clark State College in Idaho, and it's grass fields and yellow school buses, and we practice Sacagawea Middle School, and the dorms are kind of the old concrete dorms and no TVs in them, and got a big game room for those guys. But you know, my wife will come down with the girls, you know, probably catch two practices down there. You know, we're there for about a week, and then there'll be a practices here, and we'll kind of pop in, you know, kind of weekly, grab a lunch here or there, that type of thing. That's a great thing about Pullman is, you know, just a small college town, and we're literally about 2 miles from the campus, so we're able to squeak a bunch of meals in, and Coach Lee does a great job with, you know, kind of letting us kind of get out of the office when your work gets done. We're not a huge, you know, 6 a.m. to midnight every night, you know, type of staff. You know, it's one of those things where when you get it done, you know, but you got to have your results kind of speak for themselves type of thing. So if that starts slipping, then obviously, you know, you may have to put some more time in type of deal. So it's a unique kind of an environment, especially in the coaching profession, how a lot of other head coaches operate. But, you know, I'm home on Thursdays right after practice, and we do a family dinner, and Fridays we go in late. So, you know, I get to, you know, get breakfast to girls and that type of thing. But I drop off at school every day, you know, so it's really that there's a pretty good balance here as far as, you know, being at this level that I don't think you get at some other places.
Coach, you do a great job with your guys and, you know, been successful throughout your career and all the things that you've done. If I were to say, what's the one thing that really helps your guys find the winning edge, what would that be?
Yeah, I think it's a mindset. I think it's a mindset thing. And, you know, during we get cooking here into fall camp, we'll start meeting as a group and, you know, sharing stories or quotes that guys kind of use to kind of mold some of their values and core beliefs by. And we get into the season, we do a kind of a visualization thing on Friday nights before games and kind of do a round table meeting. Everybody goes around and shares their thoughts. And, you know, it's just got to get to one of those things where, you know, you're playing confident and you really, you know, you have a belief, you know, and I think that's what even the program here as a whole and a lot of my guys too in the past, like you said, I think that's just been one of those things. You got to be confident and you got to have strong convictions. You got to have a passion for the game. And when they do that, then they start making these plays and doing those things where, you know, it's not the coach yelling at a kid for making a mistake. The kid comes to you and he knows he made a mistake or let the team down. And that's when, you know, like you're kind of, you're getting your message across. You know, when I get a player that, you know, has a bad play and comes to me and says, I know exactly what I did wrong and I won't let that happen again type of thing, before I even say a word, that's when you know, really feel good about a coach, and it's rewarding to see these guys kind of understand what you're trying to get across to them.
For our listeners out there, you can follow Coach on Twitter at Coach Mealy. That's M-E-L-E-W-S-U, at Coach Mealy W-S-U. Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time here before the season kicks off, and best of luck to you and the Cougars in 2019.